At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today, tomorrow, and on the third day I must finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
A year and 8 months ago, my husband Justin and I moved back to Houston, near the Loop. Sadly, not inside the Loop. Just north of the Heights. We both had been blessed by God. He in starting a new position at Ulta Beauty, and I for having a more manageable commute. Thank you, Jesus. During the first couple of months of us moving back to Houston, we took the time to familiarize ourselves with this new neighborhood where we are currently living in, as well as eat at most of the Mexican restaurants nearby. They're not as good as Mom, I'll tell you that. And as a nature lover myself, I also took the time to find and walk down all the bike paths near our home, and making sure that my carefully crafted playlist would accompany me along the way. It so happened that one day as I was walking, this time without my AirPods and without the soundtrack to my life, I came upon a sight that I have seen before, but only in rural Texas. It was a chicken coop, and chickens just clucking everywhere in this fenced-in yard in the middle of the Houston Heights. See, I love chickens. Ever since I was a child, I wanted to have my very own Chanticleer waking me up with song, specifically my mother. And every manner of chicken laying a technicolor dozen of eggs. You know, those Rhode Island Reds, those Jersey Giants, those blue copper Marins, and the funny-sounding silver-laced Wyandottes. You can imagine the joy on my face when in elementary school, one of our projects was to raise two chickens from egg to when they shed the little baby feathers. So seeing all those chickens in that yard revived in me a desire for my youth to nurture, to take care of, to gather the whole chicken world into my backyard. Now I want you to guess what Justin thought about the idea of us raising chickens in the city. You probably guessed correctly. No, we care for all kinds of critters and we have four pets at home and plants, but most of all, I don't think our landlords would allow it. So much for trying to get eggs at an affordable cost. I think all of us have had at one point or another similar kind of dreams. Those simple yet profound plans to turn back time to when life was easier. And we didn't feel the crushing weight of this modern world on our shoulders. When we knew almost intuitively what it meant for us as children to share extravagant love with those who looked like us, who shared their toys with us, and perhaps those that didn't look like us, and perhaps even a little friend. I think Jesus moved around in this world with this kind of extravagant love. As he went throughout the various towns and cities of Galilee, healing the sick, welcoming and dining with sinners and outcasts, and teaching the people in parables. And I think that as he traveled, he carried within himself the stories and the burdens of all those who were excluded in society for who they were, or whatever financial or medical condition they were in. Of course, not everyone bought into this ministry. There are all kinds of groups which we collectively call the Pharisees, who disagreed with how Jesus implemented God's extravagant love. See, the Pharisees were a reform movement who sought to renew God's people by interpreting God's law and love in such a way as to resist the dehumanizing culture of their oppressors, the Romans. And they saw in Herod not a kindred spirit, but someone who was out for himself, benefiting financially with colluding with the Roman way of life, which was a way driven by conquest, power, and might. So when the Pharisees encounter Jesus on the road, heading yet to another town on his way to Jerusalem to teach this message of extravagant love, they try to warn him. There's a fork in the road, Jesus. If he was to continue this uninhibited way of love, he would become another victim of the Roman cog of violence. And yet no one, not even Herod himself, is able to stop extravagant love, let alone put it to death or shame it. Extravagant love is God's unconditional embrace that makes us whole, that frees us from our sins and heals those wounds, the visible and those invisible wounds, gathers us all from every walk of life into one sacred familia. This love allows us to share with our neighbor all that we have and all that we are in this life. But more importantly, it is we receive from our neighbor the ability to see the world as they do. God, our divine parent, created us to live out of this extravagant love. Hence the chickens. Hence why Jesus compares himself to a hen nestling her chickadees. Jesus is the very beating and loving heart of God. And yet, there is this idea circulating amongst Christian nationalists that empathy is a sin. That Jesus loved sinners, but he didn't empathize with them. Empathy for these folks is so destructive that it is for them the main cause for the decline of Western civilization. This decline for them is synonymous with the exception, with the accepting of homosexuality, of this so-called gender ideology, abortion, and other boogeymen. And yet this fight against empathy is a wild goose chase and a recipe for disaster. This fight tears down neighborhoods, breaks down friendships, and sows seeds of fear and hatred and hypocrisy. Howard Thurman, who I love dearly, calls these three the hounds of hell, the dog, the disinherited. And should we allow any of these to take root in our hearts, we begin to act in ways that dehumanize others, that push dehumanizing policies and laws in the world. And no longer can we say that we have extravagant love, but just our little old selves. Justin and I, like many of us here, feel the loneliness of that time. That people just don't gather like they used to. And that there are many forces in this world that are trying to keep it that way. If there's one activity that we do that allows us to feel extravagant love. It is sharing a chicken hot pot at our favorite chicken hot pot place in Bel Air with a group of our friends. We order the various ingredients as we sit around and we wait for the magic to happen. And it happens very quickly. When we catch up with our friends, when we share plenty of jokes, when we make future plans that will or perhaps will not pan out, it is the way of Jesus. He shared his very life with his friends, his disciples, at meals, because he knew that when we come together to eat and drink, there is extravagant love. That's why we as Lutherans confess that at this table, we share Christ. Here is extravagant love, giving herself to us, gathering us like a mother hen gathers her chickadees, so that as we are fed, we can go out and feed others and bring them into our little brood here at Christ the King Church. Sometimes I think we get so caught up with the pageantry and the aesthetics of all of this, that I think that we can forget why we're here in the first place, in this little corner of Houston. I can hope that as each of you come to this railing, you can leave behind all your fears, your hatred, your distrust of others, and experience extravagant love. I know for me, when I'm going to come to this railing, I'm going to think of all the people in this world who need extravagant love. Of all the trans folks in our community who need a place, who need a home. Of all the immigrants fearing about what the next thing is going to look like. I'm going to think of all of you. All of you who have lost family members, employment, friends. And because you have come here perhaps for a bit of love. God is gathering us here under God's wings into an extravagant community of God's love. So maybe this sermon will convince Justin for us to go get some chickens. Maybe. All right, I can tell him he's over there. He says no. So. But it's not for the eggs. It's for a reminder. Right? That when days are lonely and they're long, when it seems like fear and hatred and distrust sound like they have the final word, it's the clucks of chickens that signal another way. It's not a way that is bent on breaking us down or pitting us against each other. It's the way of the table, of extravagant love. And at every table, whenever we embrace and feed and make room for all other chickadees in God's home and allow for our God to be that wonderful Chanticleer to wake us up. Amen.
Amen. Amen.